It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on a brand new week, the third full week of July 2021. It is the 19th day of July 2021. This is the Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That, of course, is where you go if you would like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the hours in which this program is live, namely Monday through Friday, from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. And if you pop by now, well, you will be immediately greeted by the likes of Jeremy in Vermont, Otto DeShot, Roger in Oregon, and Squeaky. All early arrivers and capably moderated in the chat room by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, knows far better than to hold space into the middle of a blast furnace, which is where the man cave is right now. Hi, I'm Robin. Steve, that's not a good thing. Steve in New York with a note. I gotta tell you, I'm really loving hearing your voice this evening. My ears were beginning to start bleeding until you came on. You know, you might want to see a doctor about that bleeding air. Yeah. No? Jeremy in Vermont says, you have local air traffic control tower broadcasting under the stream, Robin. What? Maybe a brother deacon could check into that. Which stream are you listening to, Jeremy? The Head On live stream or the White Rose Society stream? Because there's no air traffic control traffic of any, I mean, barely any traffic out on the highway. I mean, I live in the country, for God's sakes. But you know what's weird is all of a sudden I heard me going in and out. Jeremy says, disregard, it was me, LOL. Okay. All right, I feel a little bit better. Okay, yeah, no, thank you, Brother Deacon. We're good. That was YouTube on in the background. Okay, Jeremy. Cool. Well, it is. It's More In Monday on the Horn, and every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different. And that means we send out thanks to our weekend subscribers. Thank you very kindly. Working backwards from today. Thank you most kindly to Clayton. Thank you to Sharon. Thank you to Darlene in Connecticut. Thank you so much to Joy in Ann Arbor. Thank you to Grace. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you to our dear friend in Singapore. Thank you to Labor Man, Gary, out in New Mexico. Thank you very much indeed to everyone who is a partial sponsor of the program and thereby keeps this little miracle that is independent, liberal, progressive broadcasting afloat and has done so for so very long. So the fundraising goal this evening stands where it stood on Friday. We'll just call it $600, and we need to get caught up because mid-month bills are, well, it's that time. And hopefully we'll knock it down this evening. Middle of the month is kind of rough on everybody, I think. But we'll try. We will certainly try. And, of course, it's Moran Monday on the horn. And days like this remind me of why we have Moran Monday. We have Moran Monday because we have Morans, rather plain and simple. But speaking of Morans to the moon, Jeffrey batting leadoff this evening. You know, as last Friday we left you with the story of JFK Jr. crashing his plane into the Atlantic Ocean near Martha's Vineyard. Well, this weekend was the anniversary of JFK Jr.'s uncle, Ted Kennedy, crashing his Oldsmobile into the Atlantic Ocean again off of Martha's Vineyard, killing his secretary, Mary Jo Kopechne, a week short of her 29th birthday, and also killing his chances of ever becoming president. Ted Kennedy pled guilty for leaving the scene of the accident and received a suspended sentence of 16 months. I'm just glad JFK Jr. learned a lesson from his uncle. Yes, I'm just glad to see that at least JFK Jr., wait for it, did not leave the scene of his accident. And by not leaving the scene, according to some QAnon sense morons, JFK Jr. will be running as Trump's vice president in 2024. Oh, dear God, Jeffrey. No, it's not quite how it worked out, and, well, if we never mention Chappaquiddick again, it would be too soon. But speaking of Junior and leaving the scene, on this day in 2005, President George W. Bush announced his choice of Federal Appeals Court Judge John G. Roberts, Jr. to replace Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Hold on. No, he was nominated. John Roberts was nominated directly to be Chief Justice. So, you know, and William Rehnquist, remember the old junkie? Junkie Rehnquist? Yeah, that's who Roberts replaced. But as Jeffrey points out, this Roberts court seems intent on dismantling democracy as they appear poised to allow the states to enact numerous voting suppression type laws. I personally would like to rename this court and refer to it as the Robbers Court, as they seem dead set on watching democracy be stolen by the states. This will be no accident, but John Roberts, the leader of the Robbers Court, will make it appear as one and probably conveniently retire from the court and leave the scene. At one time we had Robber Barons, and now we have the Roberts Robber Barristers. That's quality, Jeffrey. That's worth a jingle. Yeah. And by the way, we missed a case, and I've got it later in the program. I hope we find time for it because, oh, my God. Yeah. And I really don't like what's happening here with the microphone. I don't know if it's some sort of compression, but it feels like I'm being noise-gated, and that's nothing to do. That's not like a scandal or anything, noise-gate, water-gate, you know, tan suit gate. No. Because never a dull moment. Joey notes, Jeffrey and I have a confession to make, and that's this. When you turn on MSNBC, do you end up asking yourself, why did I do that after a few segments? Generally, I like Ali Velshi, but this weekend while watching, I saw Velshi defending all of the coverage of Richard Branson's flight into space. Velshi said these flights were helping us learn more about space, and we should take interest in them. No, actually, Allie, on this day back in 1969, Apollo 11 was orbiting the moon in preparation for a moon landing, and we've had many space shuttle trips into space on numerous research missions. We really don't need to have Richard Branson venturing into space for tourism purposes so that we can supposedly glean more information from these space travels. Well, Joey is correct. The only thing we actually learned from his recent space mission by Branson is that this man has way too much time and money on his hands. Just recently, there was a list of several companies that are attempting to buy back $20 billion worth of stocks. One in particular has 500,000 employees. And if they use that $20 billion to pay decent salaries to these 500,000 employees, it's estimated that these employees could earn $40,000 annually. To the moon with these billionaires, because it's been too many moons since you paid your employees decent money. And finally, on this day, 1990, Pete Rose, the all-time hits leader, got hit with a 5-month prison sentence for tax evasion. Sadly, Pete Rose has served a much greater sentence than 5 months for gambling on baseball. He unjustly has received a harsh lifetime sentence. Commissioner Manfred, please put Pete in the hall. Yeah, I'm not quite there yet, but the minute that Pete Rose can go in the Hall of Fame, exactly 1 second, as far as I'm concerned, after Joe Jackson does. But I'm nerdy like that. Anyway, this was Joey's Journal for More in Monday, the 19th day of June, 2021, with Giraffery mooning the Robbers Court. And so there's a $10 Moon the Robbers Court challenge on the table. If someone will meet that, we will be down to, 580 or so. And that would be, that'd be fantastic. Thank you. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Giraffery. When you spoke of middle of the month, Lee in New York says, you reminded me of when I was on a software scheduling project. I called the mid-month schedule Ides. Yes. The Ides really come around about the 15th, though, truth be told. I had a previous note from Lee in New York. More and Monday nominee Brian Kilmeade for a quote, oh dear God, a quote. Yes, he was actually heard to say recently, it's not the government's job to protect people. I wish I was kidding. I'm not. We can go to the tail of the, well, not tape. How about the tail of the packets?
And live in LA County.
It is a suggestion. And so there are a lot of people who see, hey, I don't have to wear a mask because that person
guess
isn't wearing
what?
A mask. There are a lot of people faking it.
But listen, if you didn't get a vaccination, that's your choice. Right. And if you did, like I did and they did and maybe you right. did, then you should not wear a mask. And if you didn't, if you want to go cliff diving this weekend, you don't have to check with me. It seems a little dangerous, but I'm not going to judge you. And if you go ahead and put yourself in danger, if you feel as though this is not something right. for you, don't.
People who see.
Oh, how many of us wish Brian Kilmeade would go cliff diving, you know, in a over a dry lake bed? God.
Something right. for you, don't do it, but don't affect my life.
99% of the people who are dying from COVID are unvaccinated.
That's so their choice.
They don't want to die. The administration and the government is saying we need the mask mandate to protect the unvaccinated.
That's not their job. It's not their job to protect anybody.
Well, they're pushing. If you read any of the social media, they're pushing get vaccinated, do the right thing, get vaccinated, save other people's lives. And they're upset with Facebook because they say there's a lot of misinformation out there. They have their top, 10 list, top 12 list of people that they don't like their messages.
Doesn't.
Right. Yeah, there's some anti-vaxxers out there that are.
Yeah, it's not that they don't like their messages, you moron. I forget who this latest Fox Attack blonde is. It has nothing to do with an aesthetic choice about whether one likes or dislikes a message. It's about whether or not the false information being spread is also spreading the virus. Damn. It's not government's job to protect people. As Lee in New York points out, my state government has a fine for driving without wearing a seatbelt. Car manufacturers are required to provide them. OSHA protects employee workplaces. FEMA provides disaster relief. NOAA provides weather data. The military protects us from invasion. And the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission protects employees against workplace discrimination. And then there's also MSHA, the Mine Safety Health Administration, that's supposed to protect miners from dying in the mine. Lots of examples, and Lee is absolutely right, but nah, these clowns, it's not the government's job to protect, no, God damn it. I know. Well, let's do this right, shall we? Please.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry.
Henry. Step right up. You will not believe your ears. It's Moran Monday on the Horn. Here, behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, reside all the Morans you could ever possibly want to hear. Yes, we've got them all. Birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, booger eaters, Trumpanzees, maggots, libertarians, Republicans all, each and every one, anti-vaxxers included in the mix. Yes, indeed. They're all here, just a few steps off the Carnival Midway where only moments ago you were engaged in the vain and futile attempt to take home a precious baby iguana. No, really, they're not that precious. They bite, you know, germs and stuff. Buy romaine lettuce for them. But nonetheless, you were still throwing the ping pong balls at the goldfish bowls because for some reason or another, someone wanted a baby iguana. I wish I was in Tijuana eating barbecued iguana. But yes, yes indeed, for the low, low price of a little less than 50 cents, a little less than the price of a half a stick of Wrigley's chewing gum, you can be a subscribing sponsor of the Horn at the $10 level. That's all it takes. A little less than 50 cents a day. Over there, just sign up right over at headon.live, right there on the PayPal interface that's on the main page. It's easy and it's simple. Of course, the standard disclaimers apply. Please, as you enter the Moran Monday tent, keep a close eye and a close hand on watches, bracelets, rings, bangles, toe rings, piercings. Oh, yes, definitely the piercings. It hurts. It hurts, I tell you. And also, of course, we want to keep an eye on children, small dogs, kitty cats, service animals. And, yes, even that iguana that you won throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls. I don't know how you managed it. It's very difficult. Nonetheless, the Morans can get grabby. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans, and you will. Oh, you so will. What a day. Since we started out with that Laugh Riot Morning Zoo crew over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, trying to figure out what I knocked over. It's a little cluttered in here. But anyway, let's keep the anti-vaxxer train rolling. Actually, I'd like to make it stop, but you know what I mean. Let's check in on the anti-vax efforts in the federal court system. Mm-hmm. At Indiana University, IU, this is the one in Bloomington, Indiana, not the one in Pennsylvania. This is not IUP. This is just IU. 8 young scholars there at Indiana University had decided that, by God, the government ain't going to force me to take no vaccination. Right? Yeah. And so they found a pettifogger from an outfit that pettifogs for things like this. America's frontline doctors. It sounds impressive, doesn't it? Well, it's not. It's a gang of right-wing sawbones who are a bunch of anti-vaxxers. And so they hired a lawyer named James Bopp Jr. James Bopp Jr. is representing the little anti-vaxxer idiots who are just itching to get the coronavirus. Of course, the thing that's not necessarily explained in this story that comes from the New York Times is whether the 8 plaintiffs are already vaccinated anyway. Maybe that would moot the case out, or maybe they had, I don't know, maybe they've got some sort of, I don't know. But there's 8 of them, 8 idiots, and one wonders how they ever got into a Big Ten university like Indiana University. It's a good school. Basketball's been kind of so-so lately, and even the football team was halfway respectable last year. Go figure. That never happens. But these 8 fools sued because Indiana University says has a rule, and it's a smart rule,
that says if you want to be a student at Indiana University, by God, you got to have a vaccine. And as of today, a federal judge has said, yeah, you know what? They've got that right. Definitely got that right. Now, the eight young morons there at Indiana University, they said, well, it ain't got nothing but your emergency use authorization from the Food and Drug Administration. And it ain't supposed to be considered like with the other vaccinations that we got to take to keep us from spreading loathsome diseases around the Hoosier campus. And lawyer pettifogger James Bopp Jr. Entered the fray saying, what we have here is the government forcing you to do something that you strenuously object to and have your body invaded by the process. Body invasion by the process. It sounds like something from outer space. The process has invaded student bodies. Oh, God. It hurts so bad sometimes. So basically, you've got eight kids with a death wish. I don't want to push this too far or anything, but might these eight students need something on the order of maybe a mental health evaluation? So you want to die? You want to die of a disease that now, thanks to the Delta variant. And, for instance, in the least vaccinated state in the union, Alabama, something on the order of 70% of all new cases are the Delta variant. Right? Yeah. That thing spreads. That thing can spread in under a minute. Whereas with the original coronavirus, you kind of had to be in people's presence breathing particles for a while. No more. Because it's mutated. That's why it's the Delta variant. Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta. Yeah. When I was in a fraternity back in college, we had an informal song that we would sing, the chorus of which was "The Delta We Adore." Not so much anymore. No. And I don't even feel particularly good about Delta faucets. Just avoiding deltas for a while. I'll bet you a certain airline wishes the medical community hadn't named it that. But these little twerps, that's what they are, twerps who would prefer to get a whole bunch more people sick. They brought Mr. Bopp in. You know, he kind of sounds like he ought to be some sort of maybe hip-hop artist. Hip-hop bop. Bop-hop. Hip-bop. The possibilities are not endless, but they are engaging. They sued after Indiana University said, you know, look, faculty and staff and students have to get the vaccine before they come to class this fall. And if you don't, the university said they would be canceling registrations. Now, here's the thing, though. And the eight young adults, they're morons, no doubt about it. But there's a moron aspect of this that applies to Indiana University, too. Because they gave exemptions. Wait, you know what's coming. You know what's coming. They provided an exemption for people for religious objections, documented allergies to the vaccine itself, medically provided deferrals, and people who are willing to go to class virtually as opposed to you know, being in person. There are 400 college campuses right now that mandate vaccines. Jesus. And because the goddess of irony doesn't take Maureen Mondays off, the judge who heard the case was Judge Damon R. Leichty, L-E-I-C-H-T-Y. Maybe he's Lichty. I don't know. But anyway you slice it, he sits in the U.S. District Court for Northern Indiana, and he's a maggot appointment. Right. Nitwit Nero appointed him. And he said, the 14th Amendment permits Indiana University to pursue a reasonable and due process of vaccination in the legitimate interest of public health for its students, faculty, and staff. And they've already made some objections. All these eight idiots had to do was say, hey, I believe in a religion whose God speaks to me, and I'm not, and I hear voices telling me, don't get the vaccine, because I, God, who love you, will punish you forever in hell if you get it. And they would have been in. Sorry, religious exemption. Right? But no, they wanted to prove a point. They wanted to go to court. And they wanted to strike down the requirement so that the coronavirus could run wild over the Indiana University campus. And it probably will anyway, because Indiana is a maggot state. And there's a direct correlation, it's already been scientifically proven, between people who are maggots and people who are unvaccinated. Meanwhile, in the Southeastern Conference, right, they probably won't let you in class if you've been vaccinated. Yeah. As Stephen New York points out, Indiana University, in fact, beat the shit out of that team up north last year, 38-21. Please, University of Michigan, give Jim Harbaugh a 100-year contract. Oh, that's vicious. That's vicious. Steve continues and said, as to the Delta variant, Sam Cedar had an epidemiologist on who said that while the original COVID virus and even the Alpha variant had an R0 of 1-ish, the Delta variant has an R0 of 8. So clearly, it's a hoax. Ugh. And as to Lawyer Bop, why, Ron and Raleigh asks, does that lawyer sound like Joseph Lieberman? You know, the nerd voice that I was... his day job, perhaps? Hail Bop, was it? Oh, that was 1997. I remember it well. It hung in the sky when Doodle was born. Megan, meanwhile, with an idea, I think we should stop calling it COVID-19 and start calling it Darwin's Revenge, because that's what this virus is doing. Oh, and by the way, I caught a story earlier today. Turns out that the made-in-a-lab theory is kind of falling apart. Oh, well, we knew that all along here, didn't we? Yes, as a matter of fact, we did. Lee adds, by the way, also do not buy land in the Mississippi Delta. Visit for the cuisine, but not right now because Mississippi's on fire too. And more people are getting, more vaccinated people are getting COVID. A U.S. Olympic gymnast has tested positive, even though she was vaccinated. So there's that. It goes on and on. By the way, Earther pointed out, all those things that Lee listed, those government agencies like MSHA and OSHA and the EEOC, those are all on the GOP's wet dream hit list. You know, it would have been nice, Earther, if we could have gone past 30 minutes into the program without the words GOP and wet dream, because, well, there went dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. Yeah. And Steve in New York objects to the nomination of Brian Kilmeade. Isn't he a perpetual nominee? Isn't it redundant to nominate him? We've only grandfathered a couple of them out. Unfortunately, he's not one. And this from Angelo in the People's Republic of the Bronx. Hi, Angelo. Provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare from the preamble to the Constitution of the United States. You know, the thing that conservatives allegedly pay fealty and lip service to, you know, until they don't. They like the original language of it, which promote the general welfare as part of, I know. It's just like the Bible in that regard, Angelo. They thump it, they just don't bother to read it. And so, Lawyer Bopp has sworn a blood oath. I don't know if he's sworn a blood oath. But he has declared, we will appeal this and hopefully get it all the way up to the Supreme Court so the Supreme Court can do what they've done so far and say, no, no, people don't got to take no vaccination. God almighty. Oh, and by way of knocking down the fundraising goal this evening, the continuing story of the Fuck Joe Manchin challenge. Okay, so I'm putting up a $100 challenge for which I will kick in an extra $100 if it's met. Let's go, hornies. Let's go, horniest. Let's knock this deficit down. Love you, love you, love you. Love you like a rock. Love you like a rock. Oh, baby. Yep. That's signed Rico into beautiful Sunnyburg. I bet DeBerg is a lovely place right now. You know what'd be fun? Sit in the cheap seats and watch a Bucks game. That'd be a blast. With an ice cold Iron City Light. God, I cringe at the very thought of drinking an Iron City Light, but you have to if you're there, right? Yeah. Meanwhile, Jeremy in Vermont says, but it's in the Constitution. Feed 'em! I know, I know. So, hey, that's awesome. We've got a $100 challenge on the table. If it's met, then, well, that's a chance to double your money. These double your money chances don't come around at just every day. But in total, we would then be, well, we'd be finished with fundraising for last week, which would be freaking awesome. Thank you, Rico. Thank you so much. Maybe think of me the next time you're down in the Strip District grabbing an original Primanti Brothers sandwich. They're not Primanti Brothers has expanded. I mean, there's a couple of them in West Virginia now. But I hold to the purist theory that it's only a real Primanti Brothers sandwich if you get one from the location down in the Strip. Thank you, Rico. Thank you so kindly. Please don't let this challenge die, because being able to finish fundraising for last week and then get started on this one is so important. It's more important than I can express. Thank you, Rico. Thank you. And Steve has a request in New York. Please do me a favor. Tell me that the shit show that's currently descending upon the world is just a dream and I'm going to wake up soon and find out none of this ever happened, and we're living in the second Hillary Clinton term. We took COVID-19 seriously and are at a point where we're actually stamping it out. Steve, reality spoken here, but I can help a little bit. There's an alternate universe where that's all true. Because at least our understanding of the universes now is such that, you know, they lay together like pages in a book. Each page is completely different from the page next to it, but they do touch. Some of the pages do touch, and so there's that. It's a thin reed to perch on, but well, in a storm, right? Oh yes, I. You know what? You're absolutely right. Lee said, Lawyer Bopp reminded him of something, namely Rockapella. Well, she sneaks around the world. Yeah, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? God, I love that show. Even as a grown-up, I love that show. We watched it when our eldest was young. Let's see. Earther wants to know, what's a good day of the month to sign up for a monthly contribution? Asking for a me. Well, let's see. Any of them are good, whatever's most convenient for you. But it does get thin around the 15th, 16th, 17th. It's kind of it'll stay kind of thin now until right toward the end of the month. So any time is good, Earther, and thank you. Thank you very kindly indeed. Oh, and since we were talking about a couple of legal things, oh, and since we've got the Fuck Joe Manchin challenge on the table, and remember, every contribution to the Fuck Joe Manchin challenge gets a Fuck Joe Manchin live and on the air. There is the right wing outrage machine has decided to start up a new outrage, and they're angry at Tracy Stone Manning. Tracy Stone Manning is President Biden's nominee to run the Bureau of Land Management. And curiously enough, she doesn't come from some godforsaken mining interest. No, they're having a hissy. They're having a hissy over her nomination because she's a Biden nomination. But they're saying she's a tree spiker. And that in exchange for immunity, she testified in 1993 that she retyped and sent an anonymous letter to the U.S. Forest Service on behalf of John P. Blunt, her former roommate and friend. And the letter said that 500 pounds of spikes measuring 8 to 10 inches in length had been jammed into the trees of an Idaho forest. They are referring to her as a result of that. They are referring to her as an eco-terrorist. Oh, for fuck's sake. And so since the right wing, and I don't go there very often, but this is a Fox News article, so you know it's dishonest. But it tells you which way they're heading. And now they know, it didn't take them long to figure out, the right wing knows that if they want to really screw something up, they can look to Joe Manchin to do their dirty work for them. And so far his office has been silent. But, well, Tracy Stone Manning has a couple of things going against her. One, she's a woman. Two, she can be described as having some interest in preserving the planet as a place that human beings can reasonably safely live on. Yeah. And it's amazing to watch the way that this slanted writing is done. Support for the president's nominee is dwindling left and right, with the Dallas Safari Club Conservation Group, as well as every single Republican on the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, calling on the president to pull her from consideration. Really, the Dallas Safari Club is the left? Is that what they mean? Because the left can't possibly mean every single Republican on the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. Oh, so Wyoming Senator John Barrasso, emphasis on the ass part, is having a hissy. And among other things, they're breathless, you know, and they get Emery and Marveline all worked up with stuff like this. Biden's BLM director nominee has called for population control to protect the environment in her graduate thesis and shared her husband's report from 2018 that said people's houses caught in forest fires should be left to burn, calling it a clarion call. Well, really, it's not so much a matter of having them left to burn. It's just that they burn.
you know, in massive fires that are started by the electric utility. And the White House has stood by their nominee, stating last week Tracy Stone Manning is eminently qualified, exceptionally qualified. And frankly, I think it would be nice to have someone who isn't in the pocket of Big Polluter or Big Timber or, I don't know, Big Bundy. Yeah. So watch this space, and yeah, thank you for the reminder, Rico. Fuck Joe Manchin. Because it's now clear to everybody except perhaps Joe Manchin, who must have raked in the big bucks last Friday, swanning around with those Texas oil billionaires. It's an open question. Does he know he's being used as a tool by the right wing? Or is he just that damn dumb? Anybody's guess. Any way you slice it, it's embarrassing, especially for West Virginia Democrats. Because they don't support the shit he supports. And it's not like we're a bunch of hyper-partisans. I'm probably one of, if not the most liberal Democrat in the state of West Virginia. Because the people who are arguably more liberal than me aren't Democrats. They just, you know, they're like mountain parties and greens, and they live to lose elections.
Right.
Oh, and a note coming in from Dave number 11. This is fascinating. I talked to a doctor today that claims to have contracted COVID a total of 4 times so far and is urging others who have had COVID or have been vaccinated against COVID to attempt to expose themselves as often as possible to the coronavirus so as to better deal with variants. Run on intentionally, yes. The notion is that repeater Rona sufferers won't get very sick. The doctor's office was mask optional. This sounds, Dave number 11 says, like a lie or a poor joke, but it isn't. Oh, God. So, but the only way you could say that is if you had the results of 4 separate coronavirus tests that show up positive. This is, well, I remember the term that Matt in San Francisco taught me. This guy's a bug chaser. And, you know, bug sprayed, maybe nuts. I'm guessing that's not good advice. You know, try not to get it. Hey, thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. We are on our way on Rico's Fuck Joe Manchin challenge. Fuck Joe Manchin! I say that on your behalf, Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you so much. We got $75 to go. And we'll knock that challenge out. And when that happens, we will be done fundraising for last week, and that's fantastic. Thank you, Rico, and thank you for getting us started to Charlene. Let it go, Jeremy, let it go. Subject line, reality. Robin, tell us the truth about Russia's long-term vacation and how he'll return to the air for the real inauguration day next month of the real, true, one and only president and smartest, fittest man to ever need help down a small ramp. Wait a minute, okay. The smartest, fittest man ever need help down a small ramp, President Donald J. Trump. The J stands for I
told you I'll be back.
That is what the J stands for. Oh, all right. You just put on too much pressure, Jeremy. Rush Limbaugh is living up in northern Michigan with Elvis and Jim Morrison. Kurt Cobain, Billy Graham. And Dick Cheney's old heart. Not the new one that he got from some human being in an internment camp in China or something. No.
But there's a lot of legal morality to be had of late. We talked about this a little bit on Friday, and the first felony prison sentence from January 6th has been handed down. Paul Ollard Hodgkins, 38-year-old man from Tampa. Well, last month he entered a guilty plea to a single felony count of obstructing an official proceeding. And this does not bode well. He was sentenced today. The prosecutors wanted 18 months. They could have asked for more, but they wanted 18 months. This guy was present in the Senate chambers for a half an hour. And, of course, there was a statement of regret, but dude is on video. He's wearing his Trump T-shirt, and he's got his red Trump flag, and he's parading in the Senate of the United States. He is within close proximity of the dude who was a refugee from a Ted Nugent cosplay convention, you know, Buffalo Hat Man, the QAnon shaman, which I think is, it's a bad description because it puts shaypersons in a bad light. He was arrested February the 16th, entered his guilty plea last month, and today he was sentenced. It's worth remembering that had that insurrection been successful, democracy would now be dead in the United States of America. And a whole lot of people, too. Well, U.S. District Court Judge Randy Moss, and not that Randy Moss, maybe Randy Moss would have done a better job. No, this guy is an Obama appointee. I wish I was kidding. I'm not. U.S. District Judge Randolph Moss in Washington, D.C., sentenced dude to 8 months in federal prison. To the extent he was arrested, he'll get credit for time served. Lecturing Paul Ollard Hodgkins, age 38, of Tampa, Florida, sternly, although you are only one member of a larger mob, you actively participated in a larger event that threatened the Capitol and democracy itself. So I guess the prosecutors were not successful in diverting upward on a domestic terrorism charge. Judge Randy Moss said, the damage that was caused that way was beyond a several-hour delay of the vote certification. It is a damage that will persist in this country for several decades. You're damn right, Your Honor, it will. Because you don't seem willing to punish these insurrectionist fucks. Meanwhile, Hodgkins himself had a pettifogger there. And he said, please, please, Judge, don't put poor Mr. Hodgkins in jail. He is a, and this is a quote, no, really, this is a quote about a guy who invaded the Capitol of the United States in an effort to overturn a Democratic election. Patrick LeDuc, L-E-D-U-C, Patrick LeDuc, the Duck of Death. Oh, wait, that was a movie. Pettifogger Patrick LeDuc apparently argued successfully he is a, quote, law-abiding, hardworking, honest, caring, kind, thoughtful, generous, and the kind of person you would want for a neighbor. Well, maybe Patrick LeDuc would, but I don't want somebody who's going to barge into my house and, you know, shit on the floor and wipe it on the walls and no. On the day of the riot, well, Your Honor, he lost his bearings and his way. Oh, I hate it when your bearings go out. And made a fateful decision to follow the crowd and found himself for approximately 15 minutes in a place that he sincerely regrets to have been. Oh, my God. So he was just following the crowd, trying to get out. And while he has argued to be law-abiding, hard-working, honest, caring, and kind, and thoughtful, and generous, and helps little old ladies across the street in the rain, he apparently couldn't pour piss out of a boot with directions on the heel because he had to know he was going further into the Capitol. Just followed the crowd into the Capitol, trying to get out of the Capitol by following the crowd into the Capitol. And then it was Mr. Hodgkins' moment to shine, and he said, I can say without a shadow of a doubt that I'm truly remorseful and regretful for my actions, not because I face consequences, but because of the damage that day's incident caused and the way this country that I love has been hurt. I realize my involvement did still contribute to the greater problem that took place. Problem. People died. The company of us who remained calmer in our protest may have made the others feel emboldened. Assistant U.S. Attorney Mona Sedke argued unsuccessfully in trying to get at least a year and a half in prison that Hodgkins willingly joined the fray and he steadfastly remained a part of it. He entered to disturb the election process and disrupt the peaceful transfer of power and begged for a more substantial sentence, noting that such a thing will send a loud and clear message to other would-be rioters that if and when they're caught, they will face a serious sentence, so there won't be a next time. Get this, though. He's the first felony to be sentenced, but he's the third person to be sentenced, and 8 months in the stir on a federal felony is the longest sentence that has been handed down to date. Consider the case of Michael Curzio, also of Florida. He got 6 months in prison after he pleaded guilty to the same charge that Hodgkins did. He's been out of the stir since July 14th because he got credit for time served waiting to be tried. Y'all, I hate to say this. I don't see any way to avoid saying this. It's gonna happen again. Because there's no consequences. Yeah, I did some time in a D.C. jail, you know. Yeah, I sat there and talked with the other inmates about how the election was stolen from our God Emperor. They kind of liked me after that. Then they let me out on July the 14th. And sure, I've been busted for federal crime now, but, well, I can still own guns because it was only a misdemeanor. Fuck. Andy the Angry Jew reminds us, Tommy Chong got 9 months for selling bongs. Bongs. Dear God, if there had been a Chong's bong wielded in that crowd, it would have been an antique for starters, but good God, they'd probably have him in front of the bench. And, oh, we're going to, you're a repeat offender, Mr. Chong. We're going to throw the book at you. I know. Earther says, come on, Robin. He's a good kid that got involved with the wrong crowd. Confederate boys will be Confederate boys.
And oh my God, I saw a graphic. Sister Carol Baker posted it. And it's one of those where you start laughing and you can't stop. I don't know if I can do it justice just by describing it. It's a bunch of little sperms with the devil's diaper festooned across them, the Confederate flag. The one in, one of the ones in the lead is talking to the little sperm, little Confederate sperms behind him. And the speech bubble says, "I can't wait to be a proud Confederate like Dad." Another sperm replies to him, "Bro, we're in a dead raccoon." I know, it's no good laughing at it. "Bro, we're in a dead raccoon." And it's what you have to think about in order for... That's when it just gets funnier. Lee in New York, as to Mr. Hodgkins, says, he's lucky that he was not protesting a pipeline and the pollution that emanates from it. Yeah, he wouldn't be doing it in 8 months. He'd be doing it in 8 years. Meanwhile, David in South Carolina, Stan, sent me the following from Ari Berman. Paul Hodgkins, white Trump supporter, gets 8 months in prison for trying to violently overthrow the U.S. government. Crystal Mason, black woman in Texas, got 5 years in prison for casting a provisional ballot on supervised release that wasn't even counted. Two justice systems in America. Oh, yeah. But it, well, obligatory Star Trek reference from Lee in New York. I lost his bearings because that isolated building known as the Capitol is so hard to recognize. Kirk just lost his way when he entered Romulan space, the Enterprise incident. Right. Exactly. I mean, there's all that January wind and open skies and stuff out there. That can't possibly be the way out of the Capitol. "Oh, Your Honor, they pushed me in. I was part of the crowd, and I didn't mean to. They just shoved me along." And anybody want to sell Judge Randy Moss a bridge? It's in Brooklyn now, but he's free to move it wherever he wants to after he pays for it. "Now try this," says Ron in Raleigh. "Imagine that all these folks were Black Lives Matter protesters or Antifa. What do you think would be the sentences for those participants? May I proffer my belief, as my dad used to say, they would put their ass under the jail, never to see the light of day again." It's going to be a long time before that young woman out in North Dakota sees the light of day. Because, you know, she offended the tender, dainty, delicate sensibilities of the oil industry. God Almighty. And by the way, a note out, thanks, David, from Carol Lenig on Twitter. "New, Trump regrets almost nothing, but he told us," because he actually sat down with Philip Rucker and Carol Lenig and opened his soul, such as it is. "He told us he has one regret from his presidency. He wishes he had unleashed U.S. military on Black Lives Matter and civil rights protesters in the summer of 2020. From the book with Philip Rucker, "I Alone Can Fix It." He would have loved to have seen black people mowed down and left in pools of blood in Washington, D.C. Here's a question. If he had succeeded in ordering that, would the troops have complied? Because you know damn good and well there was a general somewhere who was willing to pass the order along. Might not have been Mark Milley, but it might not have reached his decision desk.
That moron, Jeremy in Vermont, says, how about that dude who screamed out, okay, we're in the White House, y'all, on video, not being even close to the fence that snipers watch 24/7? Nowhere near the White House. It makes you wonder, there's snipers on top of the White House. Are there snipers on top of the Capitol? Should there be? But here's another question. Let's say Trump had succeeded in stealing the election. Would our side, such as it is, would we have invaded the Capitol? I'm not trying to be facetious. I'd really like to know. Because, see, we didn't invade the Capitol the last time an election was stolen from us. That would be late 2000 when Dim Leader stole an election. Oh, we raised hell and some people threw some eggs at the presidential limousine on January the 20th, 2001. There were people standing along the parade route who were extending their middle finger toward George W. Bush. But nobody invaded the Capitol. It's going to happen again. It's probably already in the planning stages. And it makes me crazy to even ponder. And there's even some evidence to back up what I suggest. Brand new story out of California. Ian Rogers of Napa, California, and Jared Copeland of Vallejo. Well, they've been indicted. And they've been indicted for plotting to bomb the headquarters of the Democratic Party in Sacramento. The plan they put together was to bomb the building after Nitwit Nero lost the election in November. They were trying to get support from militia groups. They wanted to spark a revolution that would overthrow the government of the United States. Last December on a messaging app, Ian Rogers asked Jared Copeland, do you think something's wrong with me, how I'm excited to attack the Democrats? Hey, Copeland, trying to throw his buddy under the bus, said, well, I mean, I just listened to him. I figured he was just blowing off steam. On the other hand, Copeland himself said, if we see Trump can't win, we strike. If they don't listen to Trump, they'll hear us. He reached out to the Proud Boys. He reached out to the Free Percenters. And, of course, Copeland is a dishonorably discharged veteran. I presume dishonorable because he joined up in 2013, but he deserted twice. And they booted him in 2016 instead of court-martialing him. Then he became an officer inside the Free Percenters. And even after the insurrection of January 6th, and after the certification of the election on January 6th, they kept talking about their plan. And on January 6th, Copeland sent a message in all caps. Revolution, revolution, revolution. I'm fucking juiced. Damn it, I want to roll into Sacramento geared up. They were going to blow up Democratic headquarters in Sacramento, and then they were thinking about going to Twitter and Facebook next. With Copeland saying, heads must be taken. I don't like to think about it, but I think we'll have to die for what we believe in. These guys weren't just talking. Ian Rogers was arrested January the 15th in possession of 5 pipe bombs. Somehow or another, the authorities in California have managed to keep him in prison awaiting charges, multiple weapons charges. They got nearly 50 firearms in the raid, the cops did. They got about 15,000 rounds of ammunition from his house and his business. They got black powder, pipes, end caps, manuals like the Anarchist Cookbook, the U.S. Army Improved Munitions Handbook, Homemade C4, A Recipe for Survival, because nothing says survival quite like, you know, blowing up a squirrel for dinner. And, of course, he was also a roid head. Copeland was. But, hey, get this. If they're convicted, you would hope that then they face the rest of their life. No. If these two domestic terrorists are convicted, they might have to do a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison. And then they'd have to have a 3-year term of supervised release. And they'd have to pay $250,000 for the conspiracy charge. And then there's the extra weapons charges for Rogers. That's another 10 years. Good God. U.S. Attorney Stephanie M. Hines, apparently a past master of understatement, said, firebombing your perceived political opponents is illegal and does not nurture the sort of open and vigorous debate that created and supports our constitutional democracy. The allegations in the indictment describe despicable conduct. You're despicable. The investigation and prosecution of those who choose violence over discussion is as important as anything else we do to protect our free society. Like putting nonviolent, civilly disobedient women in prison for 8 years for protesting a fucking pipeline. Yeah. California Democratic Party chair is someone by the name of Rusty Hicks. Rusty said, we're relieved to know the plot was unsuccessful. The individuals believed to be responsible are in custody, and our staff and volunteers are safe and sound. Yet it points to a broader issue of violent extremism that's far too common in today's political discourse. Well, I guess when you're the chair of the California Democratic Party, you can't say, holy shit, these people tried to murder us. Is the death penalty available? Nah. No, because as Robert Frost once said, when it comes to being a liberal, he said, I'm so liberal I won't take my own side in a fight. They're going to do it again. You know, there's plenty of talk out there about the threat from China, the threat from Mother Russia, the threat from, you know, the usual suspects. It's really hard to get people to talk about the threat to America from Americans. But here we are. And there you go. And, of course, it's not, as we found out earlier, it's not just, well, the insurrectionists came from all over the country. Including, as we have recently seen with Mr. Hodgkins, Florida. Well, that's where 51-year-old Kevin Tuck and his 29-year-old son Nathaniel were from. Mm-hmm. They both participated in the attack on constitutional governance on January the 6th, 2021. They invaded the Capitol. Daddy, Kevin, well, he stayed up in the gallery. But the young'un, Nathaniel, 29, well, he beat on an officer, not once, but twice, a Capitol Police officer, before he went into the Capitol. Here's the cool part. I hope you can tell I'm being sarcastic. Kevin and his son Nathaniel were both cops, which means their police department in Windermere, Florida, had been infiltrated by the Oath Keepers or the Free Percenters or the Proud Boys or the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters Executive Staff. Daddy Kevin had been a Windermere police officer since 2019. Before that, he was with the Longwood, Florida Police Department. Yeah. Meanwhile, Windermere Police Chief David Ogden said, well, he didn't have any disciplinary issues. The Windermere Police Department has worked tirelessly over the past 8 years to build a reputation of serving with honor and integrity and service to our residents, and this arrest doesn't reflect on the hard work of the men and women of the Windermere Police Department. Yeah, it does, Chief. Yeah, it does. Because you had an insurrectionist, you had a traitor to this country wearing your badge, working in your department day in, day out, and you didn't do a damn thing to stop it. You didn't even... Because, you know, these stupid bastards, they're not quiet. They will tell you who the hell they are. The problem is there's a culture inside copping where talking about them goddamn Democrats stealing the election by Donald Trump is perfectly normal. Officer Kevin Tuck resigned from the agency effective immediately, and I accepted his resignation. WPD will move forward with an internal investigation, which is customary. Oh, well, as long as it's customary.
Round up the usual suspects.
And Nathaniel Tuck was at the police department of Apopka, Florida, for about 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. Sergeant Kim Walsh of Apopka PD said, Mr. Tuck was not employed by the Apopka Police Department at the time of the incident that led to his arrest. The Apopka Police Department became aware of the FBI's investigation of Mr. Tuck and cooperated with their investigation. Of course, these two fools bragged about what they'd done. We stormed the Capitol and fought the police. We took the flag. It's our flag. And just for folks keeping account, that's 50-plus people from Florida who attacked the Capitol of the United States and tried to overturn a Democratic election. But it didn't have nothing to do with that. No, our police department, no. Now, to be fair, a member of the Windermere Police Department did drop the dime on Kevin Tuck. At the time the dime was dropping, Kevin Tuck said, oh, hell, I didn't go to Capitol building. I was gator hunting that day. Now, I don't know what his excuse was, but he said he wasn't there. Wasn't me. You're right. I hate to say it, but y'all, it is going to happen again. Am I wrong? I don't feel wrong. They're waiting for word. From their God Emperor. I told you. More in Monday. There was another guilty plea today. Remember Enrique Tarrio of Miami, Florida? Got a photograph of him wearing a flak jacket vest. Got stuff clipped into it and stuffed into it. Along with it, what a man he is. He's got himself an ice-cold can of White Claw. You know, the alcoholic beverage for people who don't like alcoholic, the taste of alcoholic beverages. Really. He's pleaded guilty in D.C. Superior Court to one misdemeanor count of destruction of property and one D.C. weapons violation. And, of course, remember that he was identified at one point as being a snitch. Upon entering his guilty plea, he's facing 180 days in jail and or a $1,000 fine on each charge. His sentencing is scheduled for August the 23rd. The court having told him, listen, you're going to get sentenced on August 23rd. Between now and August 23rd, don't you be seen anywhere near Washington, D.C., Enrique Tarrio. And this goes back to December 2020 when Tarrio and some of his other Proud Boys stole a banner from Asbury United Methodist Church, the oldest African-American Methodist church in all of D.C. The banner was the hashtag Black Lives Matter. They not only stole the banner, they then stood in the middle of the road at the intersection of 11th and E Street Northwest, and they doused the Black Lives Matter banner in lighter fluid and torched it. And he was proud of what he did. Presumably, the only thing that would have made him prouder is if he would have had an actual African-American person to set fire to. Stand by a minute, please. I don't know why they have to set up their bots to call me and remind me of medical appointments outside of business hours. Yeah, oh well. But they did. So I confirmed that I will be there. So Enrique Tarrio might, at a maximum, get almost a year in jail and or a $2,000 fine. This is, of course, again, Superior Court of the District of Columbia. Maybe that judge will be a little harsher, a little more stern than the federal court appears to be. God. He also came with a pair of high-capacity magazines with proud, you know, with the Proud Boys logo on it. Woohoo! He said he was going to give it to somebody else when they got there. It's mine, but it wasn't mine. I was going to give it to somebody. Holy crap. Is it too much to hope that he might do that time? That photo, by the way, where he's got the white claw tucked in his vest and a cigarette hanging from his lips. Oh, he's so butch. He's wearing a hat that reads, "The War Boys." I think Dipshit even has some shoulder boards, like he's got some sort of rank. Y'all, they are going to do it again. It seems inescapable. And it's funny, though. You got a guy who invaded the capital of the United States. He's going to do 8 months with credit for time served. Let's check in, on the other hand, with Frank Caparuso. He's from Long Island. He left a voicemail. Now, he didn't build any bombs. He didn't invade the capital. The guy's still an asshole, make no mistake. He left a voicemail for the judge who was handling the case of Michael Flynn. And the voicemail that Frank Caparuso of Long Island left for Judge Emmett G. Sullivan, said, "A hot piece of lead will cut through..." Oh, that's the wrong accent, isn't it? "A hot piece of lead will cut through your skull. Back out of this bullshit before it's too late, or we'll start cutting down your staff. This is not a threat. This is a promise." So he was sentenced today. Judge Sullivan's statement was entered into evidence during the sentencing hearing today, saying the threat had a profound impact on him. "I feel fear now," Judge Sullivan said. And, of course, the pettifogger said, "Well, sure, Judge, I mean, yeah, but he's been 11 months in jail since he got arrested. Can he get credit for time served?" And the maggot appointee, District Judge Trevor McFadden, again, said, "This was nothing less than an attack on our system of government." Dude, wait till you hear about January the 6th. But he's going to do 18 months. And he'll get... That means he'll do 7. He'll probably actually wind up in jail longer than the first felony case of the invasion of the Capitol. God damn. Y'all, it is going to happen again. That shit will creep you out, though. I know what those feel like. They will make a wreck of you. Because you realize that if one of these Nijinskys is actually serious, you don't have a chance. It doesn't matter if you've got a gun in every room. They had to clear out Nationals Park in D.C. this weekend because of gunfire outside the stadium. That was chaos. And all because a bunch of pasty-faced, doughy, mostly white people think it's more important for them to be able to own as many guns as they want to than it is for people to actually sit and have a hot dog and a beer in the baseball park without being mowed fucking down. Wow. And we're okay with these people having guns. Until they use them, then it's too late. It's frightening shit. And my heart goes out to Judge Sullivan and his family. Nobody should have to put up with that crap. But then again, we had 4 years under Nitwit Nero encouraging this behavior. And how many right-wing broadcast outlets were out there hooting about what a fucking patriot Michael Flynn was? When in fact he was a treasonous prick who would have sold his country out for a hill of beans. But he got a pardon. Has the woman from the woman who's going to do 8 years federal hard time, has she gotten a pardon from the Biden administration yet? No. No, she hasn't. And no, she won't. Because rule of law, damn it. Mr. Caparuso entered a guilty plea to one count of influencing, impeding, or retaliating against a federal official by threat. Oh, and by the way, when he was sentenced, Mr. Caparuso later on said, I was shocked and embarrassed when I first heard the recording. Really? How drunk were you, buddy? Well, I was just watching a little Fox News and drinking a 1.75 liter of old panther piss, and you know how it is when you're watching Fox. I mean, I'm assuming it was Fox. It could have been Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, or Newsmuck, or any of 100 other programs. And so, hey, look, we're at the halfway point of the program. We got $75 to go on a not double, but triple your money challenge. Remember, if Rico and DeSonny Berg's Fuck Joe Manchin Redux challenge is met, you actually triple your money. And that'll mean we're done for Friday, done for last week. That's so kind of Rico. Every time somebody puts up a challenge, it is extremely kind. And it goes a long way toward keeping us going here. And we got $75 to go on it. So, could we? Hope so. Let's run over and see who's on the line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, man, how's it going?
What's happening, Todd?
How you feeling?
Yeah, you know, it's a little depressing. It's going to happen again, man.
Oh, that. Well, you know, we talked about that. You brought it up on the program, and that was the dry run.
That was the rehearsal.
That was a rehearsal. That kind of is, that's one of the things that prompted, excuse me, me to call, but that, I was waiting to say anything until I heard some of the sentences and the consequences. And see, this is trouble. Like you said, this is bullshit. Now, this is exactly why, I don't believe in the death penalty. Neither do you. I know that.
No, I don't. I don't.
But you see, this is why those people should have been shot down. Just when they started to, when it was seen that they were using battering ram to get into the Capitol, they were of ill will at that point. And that's letting them go too far, because they didn't comply, as folks say. And you have to make an example. That's just, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but you know, if they choose to engage, those are grown people. You know, if those are black folk, you know what would happen.
Yeah. Those are grown people, and those are conscious acts, Todd. I mean, it just infuriates me the way that it was portrayed today at sentencing. Oh, you know, he was trying to get out by going further into the Capitol. I mean, he just accidentally wound up in the Senate chambers, I guess. Hell of an accident,
well,
isn't it?
Right. Well, that's the thing. I at some point, if you're not serious or if you're just curious, you're going to catch yourself and say, wait a minute, I'm deep in the Capitol, and this isn't, no, if you have some type of conscience. But that's not what they came prepared. They came prepared. And if you didn't come prepared, you shouldn't have been with that crowd where you saw that they had zip ties and were using poles and everything else as weapons. Then, you know, maybe even though you might feel that way, you know, your feelings, you maybe walk away. Walk away. You know, make a better decision. And don't, you know, I have no, you know, I'm sorry Ashley Babbitt got shot, but guess what? Guess what? She put herself in that position.
If she had been at home or down to the Legion Hall having a beer, she's still here.
And the reason I bring her up is because she's being, if you listen to Washington Journal, she's being held up.
Oh, they're trying to turn her into a martyr. They're trying to turn her into the right-wing version of Heather Heyer.
Well, it's disgusting.
Yeah, it is.
And these sentences are, you know, come on. This is sedition. I mean, what else do you need to see? And like, you know, they didn't mention anything about the gallows. You know, they were out for blood. Not all of them, but too many of them. Why are you there then? Why are you there? You're not on a guided tour.
There was video. It seems like there was video all over the place. You reckon there might be video of the people who erected the gallows?
Gotta be. Come on, man. We've been Dave, are you kidding me? This is, I'm so glad you asked that question. This is what I suspect. And we know that they had some help from the inside, from some of the representatives. We know that. And it's happened on the state level. It happened in Oregon on the state level, and they got that person. But, of course, it happened at the Capitol. Why do you think they're slow-walking this?
Is that a rhetorical question, or do you have a possible answer? Or
that's not rhetorical. It's just something that, you can answer it, you know, unrhetorically, a-rhetorically.
Part of me wants to think that the optimist part of me, it's a teeny tiny little corner of my being, wants to think they're treating it like a drug case and they're just collecting evidence to move inexorably upward toward the organizers.
Mm-hmm.
Do I believe that? No. No. Do you?
No, that's what should happen. That's what we wish would happen. That's what we feel should happen, because in our minds, that's the right thing to do.
Because so far, I've seen stories about so-and-so has agreed to cooperate.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I would want, if I was trying to build a case. Oh, nice bird. Sounds like a robin. I think I would want statements of cooperation. You know, where did you first hear about this? How did you find out this was going on? What made you want to come there? Go there. I mean, isn't that how you would slowly work your way up toward the pinnacle of the pyramid?
Yeah, yes.
I mean, you used the word sedition a minute ago. I prefer, you know, as I've said a number of times on the program, the only crime that is defined as such in the entire Constitution of the United States is treason. And one of the definitions of treason is levying war against the United States. How is that not an act of war?
I can make a case for that.
I mean, if you stand around outside with your maggot flags in the middle of a pandemic and you brooga brooga, we love Trump, whatever. Okay, fine, no problem. The minute that the crowd turns around, however, and starts advancing on the Capitol, that first step and every subsequent one is an act of war against the United States. Jesus Christ, the Panthers didn't do anything like this. How'd that work out?
Well, I agree
Huey
with
Newton,
everything
Fred Hampton.
You said. Yeah, I agree with everything you said, and that's the thing. It's about the timing. The timing, it's a number of things when you put them all together, which happened. Number one, many of us played flag football when we were at camp or whatever in the field. When you plant your flag or you steal a flag from the other team's fort or home base, either that's a point or the game is over. Because you, in fact, I mean, this goes back to, you know, how many thousands of years, you know, when you storm a castle, you take it. If you storm the castle and take the king, then you understand what I'm saying?
You win.
They put the Confederate flag in the Capitol. So that's in one basket. See, that's symbolic. That means something. If you think, if some people would think about it a little bit, that means something. Then the timing, the counting of the Electoral College votes. They were disrupting the flow of government, the not just the vote, but the transfer of power. So I'm just offering a skeleton, a framework for the tenets that would make up the argument to which you spoke of about treason. Okay. Why do you have weapons? Why are you making threats? Why are you engaged in these activities? You see, it seems to me if one weaves all these things together, it doesn't seem that difficult. What do you think?
No, it doesn't. So what, as laypersons, what are we missing? What was the legal reasoning behind, I mean, okay, I get it. The Constitution defines treason, but you know, we've got a code. We've got a U.S. code of statutory language and defined crimes. Cool. How is it there is nothing in the U.S. code that addresses this? I mean, especially since we had a, oh, God, I'm going to do the history thing again, and I can hear people going, no, not the history thing, Robin, not the
no,
history
yes.
thing.
We need this. No, yes.
But
yes.
I don't know if you realize this, but in during the entirety of the Civil War, there was a debate that raged in the Union side about just exactly how to define what the South was doing. Because Lincoln
didn't have a contingency for it.
Well, Lincoln's goal was to bring the South back into compliance. Okay?
Right.
And
right.
So and it went back and it raged back and forth whether to call somebody like Jefferson Davis a traitor, having committed treason. That's why all the generals walked.
I understand what you're saying, because and that's true. Lincoln wanted the Union to be whole again. Bottom line, if he had to send black folks back to Africa, that's what he was going to do to keep the Union.
I mean, he said
whole.
That he said that quiet part out loud. If I could preserve the Union by preserving slavery, I would. If I could preserve the Union by sending every enslaved person back to Africa, I would. And you know, it took that visit from Frederick Douglass to disabuse him of that last part.
Right.
You know, when Frederick Douglass said, "Mr. President, I don't know shit about Africa. I'm an American."
These are some good issues you're bringing up because he wanted to preserve the Union mostly at all costs. So he's like, well, if you go to the extreme, you're going to have all these people who will be bitter forever. They'll be executed or in prison forever. And that's not what he wanted. Now, but fast forward to what we're dealing with now, I get that, okay, they're going to irritate, you know, a stat significant part of the country, over 30, you know, roughly 30, whatever, 35%. Now, and that's, you know, that's kind of their problem, but I get that they want to, that current time federal judges want to preserve unity. So, but that being the case, then you have to stiffen the penalty. You can't have these little piddly penalties. People need to be, so they think about what they did. And people will see, we'll make an example of, you understand, look, man, that's a five years minimum. So let's say minimum six, because federal time, you got to do 80%, I believe. So, you know, that sends a message, not months and then time served. You know, no. We already know these folks are plotting. They've already taken over state houses. They've been practicing. What the fuck do you think these people are up to? Why do you think they can't get ammunition? They're buying it all up. They are going to do what they wanted to do. This is the last stand of the white man in America. They're making this clear. That's the way I see it. And they're going to get what they want by hook or crook. Because remember, when they think they are saving the country, that's how you have to look at it through their eyes.
Yeah, they're saving the country from you and from me and from everybody who wants to be treated like a human being that they think doesn't deserve to be treated like a human being.
Right, because it's whatever they say. It's through their lens. You know, and that's the way they feel. That's the way they operate. But back to the judges, it's very disappointing. Because, I mean, so that means they're sympathetic to this shit. So once again, we've had this conversation and it came true. How many of our military are in cahoots with this nonsense? It makes sense. I mean, come on, authoritarian structures like this. Most of the police, they like this. Most, you know, you got the Deep South military vein. They like this. You know, that was a jobs program for poor white people. You know, going to the military, that's the best thing that ever happened to them.
How did they get there? I mean, we're 150, we're 160 years out from the Civil War. How did we get? I mean, my answer is, how did we get here? Rush Limbaugh got us here. Gordon Liddy got us here. Every right-wing broadcaster who's ever opened a microphone and bitched about the federal government, them too powerful, big, great, big, goddamn federal government, my friends. That's how.
I agree.
My father would have been appalled at this. I can't imagine World War II veterans who wouldn't have been. But they're mostly gone now. It's the same way that way that the first generation that drew Social Security would be appalled by the idea of the government wanting to reduce it or take it away. Well, they're gone now, so we can do that.
We're in a new era. We're in a new era. We're living through some of the most crucial parts of American history that have ever been. And I hope we all realize that. You know, I'm confident about the statement I just made. Are happening now that this is some frightening shit. Because once again, all right, and there's two things. I want to address this voting thing, and I want to go back to people being arrested at the Capitol. But I think we have to reinforce this, that it's more than not getting water or you know, standing in long lines. We know if you're in a black neighborhood, you stand in a long line to vote. But the fact that they want to reserve the right to have an entity overturning an election because they suspect something. Because they suspect something. And that, when you combine that with this nonsense, how in the hell did folks forget about chain of custody? How do you have some twerps holding on to official business? They have no clearances. How did they get these votes in Arizona? How the fuck did that happen? See, you got to nip that shit in the bud. I'm sorry, Barney Fife, but yeah, he's right. You got to nip some shit in the bud. Like, those people should have been shot down on the steps. I'm sorry, you know, it's not, you didn't make them do it. I didn't make them do it. They didn't hold Trump accountable, and you see what happened. So either we have to tell the truth that this is the last stand, and I'm not making judgments. I'm just saying what I see. See, I've been trained to separate my bias. I'm making an objective observation. From what I see, this is the last stand for the white power structure in the minds of the proletariat, the everyday people. Because remember, even though brown and black folk are going to outnumber white people pretty soon, the power structure is still there. We're not in it. They're scaring people about something that really doesn't fucking matter. We don't have any companies over in China. And that's the other thing. This whole China thing, that's a big fucking farce. We can't, we are like Siamese twins. We are joined. There is no way we are separate. There is no way. Everything we use just about is made in China by American companies. We are in too deep.
Yeah.
So all this other stuff is
And so consequently, we look the other way at Hong Kong. We look the other way at the Uyghurs. And right. And yet today there was an announcement, a more or less official announcement that, they're hacking the shit out of us.
Because they can. Look, we owe them money that we're never going to pay because we print our own money anyway. You know, so all this shit doesn't matter. It's wasting people's time while we don't have health care and we can't be like all the other normal countries. This country has plenty of money, too much fucking money. Anytime they want to do something, it's plenty of money. Plenty of money. No one should want for any kind of food or shelter in this country, period. That right there is ridiculous. But I'm going off. I'm ranting. My friends told me I rant. I'm not trying to rant.
You're not ranting.
But let me bring.
I mean, I'm surprised as calm as you are. I mean, not to shift gears on you or anything, but I want to go back to the voting thing for a minute. The one thing that chills me more than just about it. Okay. Empowering an election board to just say, nope, ain't going to go that way. That's bad. But the other thing that just gives me goosebumps are these partisan poll watchers.
What is that about?
Son, you sure you need to be voting today? I don't think you need to be voting today.
And just sitting there checking, looking at it and just checking numbers. Nope, we're going to challenge that one. Hell, let's just challenge them all. And wipe out the entirety of a damn precinct, on an objection. Now, I'm probably overstating this somewhat, but I don't think by that much.
Mm-mm. I don't think so. The tide is behind them. The wave is behind them. They have the momentum because of all this nonsense. People getting their news on Facebook and going how they feel as opposed to what are facts. This is what, I don't even know where we start. How do we fight this? What do we do?
Hey, did you tune into the Filthy Morning Habit today?
I did, actually. Solo.
Did you see Mika having a conniption about wanting to be able to sue Facebook as a publisher?
I missed that little piece.
I mean, she actually made a fairly good argument when she was reading it. They're not just a platform, they are a publisher, and that they need to, and as Byzantine as our laws are, right now the argument is their Facebook is essentially immune. And that immunity has to be. And of course, today was all about Facebook pushing back and saying, well, Joe Biden's just trying to blame us for his failed vaccination goals. Well, somebody's pushing that information. I mean, sure, it's Fox. Fox is doing its part to fuck America, too. But what's new? That's been going on for 25 years.
Right.
But it was just such a cheap and tawdry attempt to divert attention from what their real problems are, because you don't have to work to find anti-vax shit on Facebook. And this is not,
no.
And this is not Judge Learned Hands. I mean, you can't compete. When we were talking about it the other night, when Judge Learned Hand said the remedy to bad speech is more speech, there was no Facebook. There was no internet. Hell, there wasn't a Xerox machine.
So once again, and that's just the way our system is. The codification has to catch up with what's currently happening, because it's clear that they are a publisher. In fact, even though they don't call themselves an e-zine, like an electronic magazine, they are. It's just with live, it's all kinds of quirky and crazy content. But that's in fact what it is a magazine.
Yeah.
And so is Zuckerberg a libertarian?
But I get. Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No. Trying to cast himself as some sort of champion of free speech is the most utter and bilious horseshit.
Well, see, that's his conundrum. See, that's his mindset, you see. And I understand that he's like, no, I want my platform where everybody can speak. See, that's where he's coming from. And probably getting, paid.
Well, but that's the pretext, Todd. As we found out in the 2016 election, thanks to people like Cambridge Analytica, you can drill down on Facebook and to the granular neighborhood level. You can, I might not know what my neighbor's politics are, but Facebook fucking does. And so they can dictate what I see and what information reaches me and you can buy into that. It's the commercial aspect of that that becomes terrifying.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up, because remember what Paul Manafort did. He sold sensitive polling data to the Russians. We know that. That's a fact. That's empirical. And I think we had a brief discussion about this a couple years ago. And it's about layering. When you had that kind of information, you got to remember, you only had one or two choices for internet providers, right?
Me? Yeah, two. Maybe.
Two. That's the way shit is constructed now. So if you know someone's zip code, it's easy to narrow down. And if you get some, you know, access to some databases, which we know the Russians can do.
Oh, or the, I mean, and then, oh, that's a story. Let's not leave out the, Israeli spying software.
Oh, let's not. That's right. See? So it puts the flesh on the bone. So you can just like we used to get those things in the mail that targeted us because they knew we were shopped. It's the same thing. They micro target. They know who you are. And then a lot of people don't turn their location services off on their cell phones. You know, it's a whole lot of moving parts to this. But, you know, these folks are savvy. And you know what? Remember the House of Cards? They had the guy who used to work for the government. I forget his name. He had dark hair. He was kind of like in the rave scene and all this shit. But he was invented Pogo, which is like, you know, an amalgam of what we're talking about to track people. That shit, you know, that was exactly what happened. Look at the last few seasons, the last two or three seasons of House of Cards and the last two or three seasons of Weeds. You know, how true it is. But, yeah, so they're layering. Once you have that data, you see, you can micro-target. Because of the way our system is structured now, you know, when cable first came out, you might have had some options, but now, you know, that's it. That's the way they had the shit set up, because it was fucked up, man. And you get the spreadsheet. Oh, there they are. Boom, boom, boom. It's not that difficult, you know. But okay, so back to the arrest. This is what I don't like, and this is totally shifting gears, and this hurts me deeply. I had to see these prominent, brilliant black women who know what the hell they're talking about being arrested at the Capitol for peacefully protesting about something worthwhile. And I see people who have stormed the Capitol and have ill will looking for murder and mayhem and engaging in murder and mayhem and beating up cops, and they walk away. So if we don't, to me, this is just the writing on the, you know what, black people, it's time for us to, we got to go. I don't know. We got to back up and just be quiet now, because they're letting us know it's a white man's world. And I hate to say it, but it's the fucking truth. Now, they come at me, somebody's going to get hurt. I don't give a fuck. But just in general, let these people do their foolishness. Let them play it out, because they're fucking serious.
But they're not playing.
They're willing to kill the vice president.
Yeah,
they're not playing.
So you get that latest. You know, they are sick. This book. I mean, Philip Rucker and Carol Lenig are going to be able to retire, price the blue Buicks, and have a home in the country with a river of beer flowing over the grandmother's paisley shawl. Okay. This book is going to sell because there's so much juice coming out of it. This business, that dumb orange bastard sat down and talked to these people.
Did you hear Carol say, well, yeah, that's what she was on NPR. She's like, well, that's what he knew what we were doing. And he can't help himself. He has to have this audience. This is just who he is.
But he called Mike Pence a statue.
Well, this is, you know what, this is who we are. America, this is who we are. And you know what, I can connect some data points through history all the way back to these counties, these borderline states during the Civil War. You know, Kansas, Missouri. You look at those counties, York County, Pennsylvania, over Maryland. Now, York County had a race riot a lot of people don't know about in the 60s. It was awful. But you see, those are the Confederates. They just happened to live in Pennsylvania. And there's research being done right now, you see, because a lot of folks just do what their parents did. It's simple. It's easy. You don't have to think. You know, my daddy did it, was good enough for me, blah, 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 that type of thing.
And I don't think this is that, though. These are weaponized. These are a fresh generation of weaponized people, Todd.
Oh, don't say that. Because that's worse then.
Because, but, I mean, there are stories out there of, you know, mama dropped the dime, daddy dropped the dime.
Okay. Well, that's another vein then. That's what makes it worse, I guess. Yeah, I understand. You're right, though. Yeah, you're right. Like, I don't know where he got it from, but he's been talking about that. You're right. Yep. Yep.
How many people were prosecuted for the Brooks Brothers riot in 2000 in Florida? That would be zero?
No. Zero. They didn't even get yelled at, did they?
No. They got better jobs, dude.
That's not funny. No consequences. No consequences.
I'm one of the few people, and this isn't, you know, shameless self-promotion. It just happens to be a fact. I think our problems with right-wing domestic extremist infiltration in the military and the law enforcement structures of this country are far, 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 far worse than anything anyone dares give breath to.
They don't want to admit it. I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. There's evidence out there. Like you intimated to that. You almost didn't intimate. It was more than that. You look like you said they're out loud. People got eyes during the Michael Brown murder. And then, you know, you look at what these cops posted. Like, okay, how can I trust you? You call me a jungle bunny and the savages. I got to go in there, you know, monkey town tonight. You know, so I'm supposed to trust you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I know you're going to be impartial because I'm a monkey. Yeah. No problem. I got, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay. And then you wonder, you know, I'm not going to talk all violent, but, you know, every summer, this shit, things don't happen by accident. Some people know who these folks masquerading as law enforcement just that are just racist thugs. We know who these people are.
And, well, why you know, reckon... Why you reckon they went into law enforcement in the first place?
Well, that's the whole other thing, isn't it? And they like that night shift. I'm telling you, the way you talk to these people, I hear it. You are sit down, comply. I'm like, damn. I was like, motherfucker, you sound just like a goddamn overseer. What the fuck is your problem?
Oh shit!
And it's not everybody. That's the thing.
Oh, and well, not one bad apple. Horseshit. Whole barrel turns to cider in a minute. But I don't know if you've seen the final season of Bosch. Tracy and I were talking about that. There's this one subplot that runs through it where these two assholes are harassing the lieutenant, a woman, and she digs down into it and she says, "They're incels, and the police and our department is full of them."
Mm.
And when that happened in that episode,
they ain't getting
laid.
Oh,
damn. And you know, what do you want to bet? Mm. What do you want to bet?
That big black guy, he's fucking them women. I can't get.
Yeah, and Les just said, I agree with Todd. I agree with Todd 100%. There will be blood. It probably would have happened on 1-6 if DC coup was successful as a signal flare to all the sleeper Trumpist cells to come out of their houses with their tools. The left better get off the anti-gun bullshit and tool up, stock up, train up. As you both said, at this point, it's not a matter of if it's going to pop off, but which day. America, with 3 Ks, is crashing like that United Airlines DC-10 over Iowa that lost all flight controls but kept flying on 2 throttles. Some of us feel comfortable that things seem under control at the moment, but up ahead and out of the passenger's view is the cornfield. I mean, Jesus, I saw a story, and it was a real story. Some asshole put out a gun kit that would make your Glock, no, it was a Glock that was made to look like it was made out of Lego.
Oh, Jesus.
I kid you not. And the problem, you know, I understand Les's sentiment on this, but the problem is, and I keep trying to explain this, you cannot, you know, ask anybody who walked patrol in Vietnam. You know, you got point and you got the guy in the rear, and
you're looking for ambush, but the way you find the ambush is when they ambush you.
It's too late.
Somebody's ass is getting shot.
It's like the variant. It's like the COVID-19. How do you know it's running rampant in community? Same, right. Yep, I totally agree.
I mean, and we haven't even gotten to that yet. You got to be. I live in a not so densely populated state, and it's already here. But it's 70% of the cases in Alabama. What the hell is it where you are? It's all Delta all the time. God almighty.
I do not know. That's a whole nother. We're going to see some. You know what? Fall is going to be here before you know it. It's going to be set. Look, September's coming, man. It's going to be cool again. People are going to be inside.
Yeah.
And
these maggot states that didn't much shut down in the first place, they are never going to do it again. They will let the entire state die. They will let children die. And the numbers on the transmission of this Delta variant are absolutely terrifying. I mean, it is. The incubation infection period is seconds, not minutes.
Well, see, we talked. You know what? Gottlieb has been on all the stations, and that's just what we suspected. Because if it is in fact, you know, like tenfold more transmissible, which means instead of the first, you know, remember when we started it was like don't be around someone for 15 minutes in an enclosed space. Now you don't want to be behind the trail of air. Which means the mask that most people use, that, you know, that's going to help a little bit, but not too much. You know, I don't want to be inside with these people. They have to stay outside like stray dogs. If you don't want to get vaccinated, you know what? There are consequences for your actions. Your ass got to stay outside. When you get sick, you're going to the mass unit on the hospital campus out in the parking lot. We're not going to let you in. You're going to be outside. We can air that shit out. Because you had a choice. You had a choice. Not my fault. You know, take some personal responsibility. That's what I say.
And at this point in time, what is the cogent argument for not getting vaccinated? I mean, can you find one? Because I can't.
No. No. Yeah. I don't even blather, but no, there's not. There's not.
All right, here's a real question. It's almost like they were It's almost like the titans of the market were fucking with Biden today, because you know he came out and said, "Look, you know, we're not going to have runaway inflation. Nobody's serious about that." The economy is doing better than it was doing under the former guy, and boom, the S&P tanks, and the Dow drops 700 points.
I'm glad you brought that up. Now this is what our conservative, fiscally and you know conservative friends and neighbors will always say is like. Well, if the minimum wage is higher or if they keep giving out this money, then it's going to be inflation because then, you know, they're just going to go up on the prices, the companies. And I'm thinking, well, then you need to blame them for being greedy.
Greedy Nothing my happens. Ass. How about the Sherman Act? But how about the Sherman Act? March a few CEOs off in orange with their hands behind their backs.
You know, that just the economy is robust now. We had all this pent-up demand. And it's more complicated because, you know, there's a shortage of semiconductors.
There's a shortage of all kinds of shit. I mean, I've been pissing and moaning about my caffeine-free Coke Zero and my caffeine-free Diet Dr. Pepper and my Diet Orange Crush. It ain't to be had. And it's because of the...
It ain't to be had.
This would be an interesting experiment. Down there where you are, go in a big old Publix or something. Tell me if you can get caffeine-free Coke Zero. Now, you can get Coke Zero until hell freezes over. Tell me if you can get caffeine-free Coke Zero, caffeine-free Diet Dr. Pepper, because it's a tiny little market segment, and I just said, fuck it. Now, here's another weird little thing.
and it's sweet and it's cute and whatever. And maybe it's just because it's summer. But I have a little granddaughter that I just dote on. Oh God, I love her. She is Little Miss Magic from the ground up. And she seems kind of fond of me. And so I found a box, and I know you remember. I found a box of, and I know you remember them from your childhood because they were so good, and there was never enough. There was just never enough on the stick. Push-ups.
Remember push-ups? Hell yeah.
Oh, yes. God, they tasted so good. And so I found
that
a box.
Was all the rage.
I found a box of assorted flavor push-ups. They come in cherry and grape and orange. Well, last night she calls them push pops. And she said, "Opa, will you get me push pop?" Yes, baby, Opa will get you push pop. And I had to turn the world upside down just to find some of the orange ones, but she wanted the purple. And so today I was on a mission from God. And I went to Kroger's, and I went to Food Lion, and I went to the Pig, and I went to Walmart.
Damn, you went
out. And I went to Dollar General, and they ain't to be had. Nowhere. I mean, I've added that to the list along with the Cumberland Gap hog chow. Ain't to be had.
Everyone, people are talking about this is a real thing.
Tray of wings. You know, not frozen ones, but the kind, you know, when you're pro and you want to make them from the ground up.
Right.
Ain't to be had.
If you can find them, they're there for 10 minutes. The raw wings, the little hair is still on. Yeah. So, I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's just...
So, these pockets of... the supply chain, like, it was Febreze here for a minute. Well, water, toilet paper, paper towels... That's always a, you know, detergent. Sometimes detergent will disappear.
Bleach was hard to find for a while.
Oh, bleach.
I got to thank Barbara. Barbara has got us down to just $50 to go on. And by the way, fuck Joe Manchin. Barbara's got us down to $50 to go on Rico into Sunnyberg's Fuck Joe Manchin Redux Challenge. $50 to go on that, and about 45 minutes to try to get it together, and that way we can be done with fundraising for last week. Thank you, Rico. Thank you, Barbara. And thank you, Charlene, for jumping in on that. Joey and Giraffe's challenge has been met. Let me check here. That was Ralph's. Thank you, Ralph's. And so we'll... we'll hopefully get that knocked out and deal with the rest of the week as it comes. But the other part of that, we had a lovely note from Darlene in Connecticut. Damn, I love your conversations with Todd. Todd is not ranting. He's dead on balls accurate. This is an insanely wealthy country. There is plenty to go around. Always has been. But Republicans, with the enabling of most Democrats, have successfully promoted the false concept of limited resources, that they're, bullshit scarcity, that there's not enough to go around, and our so-called betters decide who gets more or who gets it all. Bullshit. This is another highly effective ploy to keep the hoi polloi in line. I am also, quite frankly, sick and tired of the political elite referring to us as the average American. Chuck Schumer did it the other day, and I view this as utterly condescending. All of us in Robin's Horn family, Malloy's Truth Seekers, and Britovo's Blue Dots are far from average. We can see for miles and miles far better than our so-called betters inside the Beltway. Now, that's a rant, Darlene says. I'll go one step further than Todd, though. It's a white man's patriarchal world. Ding. Absolutely. Absolutely, Darlene. Absolutely. And you know, that's one of the reasons, like, when we get together for Friday on the Front Porch, I refer to it as the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable discussion, because we're all just ordinary as hell, but we have an extraordinary ability to suss out the shit when we can tell when the brown and stinky is being waved around the room.
You see, and of course you're biased. You have to be a little bit. But folks who listen to your program probably, you know, we like radio. And you listen around, and, you know, there are other programs, and they're okay. But when you look back, the things that are talked about on this program,
I had a note this morning from our buddy Tosh, and he said, "You've been talking about this for how long?" And I saw it several times in different formats later in the day. There's an essay out over. I got a giggle out of it. Over at the Guardian. I'm not making fun of the analysis. The analysis is spot on. But lo and behold, in July of 2021, somebody has looked up and said, "Son of a gun, Idiocracy is a documentary." And, you know, Tosh wrote and said, "Yeah, you've only been saying that for 15 years, Robin." And it's true.
They must have thought it was The Onion or something, you know.
You know, it's social commentary on the present day that could only be presented if it was done, you know, again, the only in a culture that is in an advanced state of decay, the only place you can actually tell the truth is in comedy and satire if you make people giggle about it first. Look at that. We're fucked. Water, like from the toilet. It's what plants crave. Electrolytes. And hey, I got a treat for us because Jude is on the stress line. And I want to bring her on.
Hi, yeah. Jude.
Hey, Jude, how are you, dear?
Hey, I'm pretty good. But I have to let you know, both I'm older than both of you, and I don't remember those pop-ups.
Oh, the push-ups? They're a little orange sherbet on a stick, and you push it up out of the cardboard tube?
Oh, I didn't hear the part about being ice cream. Yes, I do remember. Okay.
Yeah. So
Well, that's just our moment of silence. Hey, Todd.
Jude, how you doing?
Well, I'm outside when I felt I had to call my limbic system, which the last time didn't trigger up when I talked to Robin, which was nice. So I went outside and took my shoes and socks off, and I started watering the grass. And
you know, that just feels good all the way from here, Jude.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Mount Rainier's out.
Dude, that's what Robin said, what I was going to say. You know, you take your shoes and socks off and you're watering the grass and maybe no sticks, mm-hmm. and you can just feel it one with the earth. And, you know, we all like plants. I did that. I didn't take my shoes off, but I'm afraid of ringworm around here. But, you know, yes. So what do you think about Robin's presentation tonight, Jude?
Well, it's always kind of a mirror of when the two of you engage. And clear, concise, cogent, like he said earlier, diverse. And I hope, Robin, when you had to turn, you know, when you allowed me to come on, that I didn't take you off your train of thought that became painful.
Not at all, Jude. Okay. I wanted to find a good place to bring you in so that it would, you know, so that it wouldn't be, so that because I know there's something you want to bring in, and I felt like we were at a good transition point.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, very much. And, well, you know, I've been thinking about John, that friend of yours, well, the part of the community that has his own program.
Oh, John Bredevoe,
sure.
Was having
difficulty with his neighbors. And about a year ago, the house next door to me went up for sale. It's been a rental. Always nice people. And finally it was sold. And I'm driving by, and one day there's, you know, a whole bunch of cars outside. And one of the bumper stickers was Lauren Culp. And Lauren Culp was the sheriff that ran against Jay Inslee. And I had done some research on him. And he had photos with those Patriot guys. One of them was killed down in Portland, you know, last summer in Black Lives Matter. And so I knew something was up. And a lot of activity didn't happen for a while. But over the course of the last, I'd say, 10 months, he's had two, and I don't mean to sound like some conspiratorial person, but I pay attention to everything. He has a group, he's just pulling up now. He had a group of young guys. He's probably early 30s. Must have been 15 or 20 of them. And I'm in the front planting flowers and, you know, just doing my stuff. And they get out, and it gets louder and louder. And then you start hearing, "Oh, fuck you, you fucking bastard." And, you know, goes on. And I thought, So I just continue. And finally they go in the house. Now, when you think about 15 or 20 guys that were all, you know, I mean, they didn't care what they had to say. I never heard anything. And we had a second meeting of a group, and that time a guy showed up in some kind of strange motorcycle, like a three-wheeler, but something different I hadn't seen. And I was getting the cats in, and he starts squealing his tires from, like, my property all the way down to the neighbor to his, and then into the second one. Later on, when I went out and looked, it looked exactly like an SS symbol. And it probably wasn't intended for that, but it was just one of those other kind of funny pieces that started coming together. So last month, I look over and taking off in my car, and he has a flag pulled up. And a little bit later, an American flag shows up. And I used to love the flag. You know, it reminded me of the movie Not Without My Daughter with Sally Field, about that, you know, she was caught in Iran and she had to get her way out. And it's an actual true story. Well, at the end of her arduous journey, she's dropped off with her young daughter in her arms, exhausted, and she's walking along the street that's completely barren. And she stops and her head tilts to the right, and then she slowly turns, and in the distance, she can see something through trees, and the closer she gets, it's the glimmering of the flag. Well, that was the exact same thing I sensed when that flag started unfurling. The last week, he ends up, again, I'm outside watering, because that's what I do, looking at the mountain, and got the boots and flowers outside. And he's putting up another flag, and I get the color yellow, which is the color of my car. So I just couldn't help myself. So I go over the fence. I says, "Is that by chance a don't tread on me?" And he pops his head up, and he goes, "It sure is." And I said, oh. So we didn't say anything for a little bit, and I kind of just leaned into the fence, and I said, "It's interesting how fences are. You know, it kind of separates people and lets people know where they are." I said, "But one thing I wanted to thank you." He went out and, for maybe this sounds mundane, he went out and he fertilized his yard. He's got an absolutely beautiful front yard. He has been extremely kind to me, but I also know about 2 months after Trump was voted out, all of a sudden he would be gone like every single night. And my sense is, I'm kind of doing, now I have the boots and flowers are closer over to his property. I'm not frightened. I don't have a sense of trepidation. But like you guys were talking earlier, I don't send in the universe idly anything. But I'm also realistic that something is, you know, it just depends on what the consciousness is going to be and what the courts do and, you know, what we do individually as people. And, so I wanted to let you know that, and to give a shout out to John, that I'm sorry that he has, you know, with them setting off firecrackers and things. Mine is just a contemplative place of just standing with someone real close to me. And who would have thought that I'd get a doggone don't tread on me flag next door?
Oh, I know. For years
is that,
now.
No, is that?
Our neighbor just down the road has a Confederate flag on there, hanging it out at the road there.
Mm-hmm.
But all you can do, is, you know, what you do is just don't say anything about it and just be grateful they're flying it because they have told you who they are. That way you will not be, surprised.
Exactly. And that's the irony of it. There's so many more of those popping up around. I met a fellow through C-SPAN through the book review, Gary Nosner. And it was late one night at my beach house, and there was a storm going on. It was like 3 a.m. And he was a former FBI negotiator. And the book was it was called Stalling for Time. And he went in, I think it was Janet Reno was, what was that, a position then? Department of Justice?
Yeah, she was AG.
Well, he went into that situation in Waco with that Koresh, and I'm probably, you know, saying his name incorrectly, but he went in, and that was quiet, you know, for quite a few weeks, and then he was removed, and after he was removed, that's when they went in and all those things happened. But Gary has been a very respectful, helpful gentleman to have in my life. And I, you know, we exchange every so often. And, you know, I had talked about the flag. And he saw it. He says, I'm so sorry that you have hate next to you. And I said, you know, I don't even sense it as that. It's for some reason this person is put next to me right now. And I'm put next to them. And we've been able somehow to manage in the midst of everything. And I know that your conversations with each other just fill the community with so much. And I, you know, I don't want to interrupt the flow that you had, but I just thought it was important. I wanted to. Yes.
You did not interrupt.
Emily, right. And this is what I want to explain. This is for Robin. Number one, Robin, let me say this. When I say man, I mean,
No. That's cool.
Know, like, I call my number one, you know, yeah. I call her man. But you, the reason I get quiet, because like in my mind, I call you E.F. Hutton. Because when I was growing up, there was this commercial, you know.
When E.F. Hutton talks,
people listen. See, because you're so deep. You're special. Yeah, I mean, come on, you're the goddess. You're like I get quiet, like, oh, she, you know, that's why I'm serious. Like. Yes, that's so, you know, you don't call for no reason. You don't call to, you know, chit-chat and curse and, you know, just
no.
Your frivolous. No,
that's my job.
Not at all. There's a lot. There is what?
Well, getting back to January 6th, I mean, that is like, to me, it's one of the huge mantras that just vibrates through my spirit along, you know, with the children, you know, all over in detention centers. And, you know, and now the kids are, other kids around the world and, you know, and the heat and everything and animals. I mean, I ran into 4 raccoons yesterday dropping my grandson off along this, a family of 4 in the middle of the city. There was a teeny tiny park. And there's all these feral cats, and they were trying to get into this container, and I went over and I looked at it, and it was just filthy water. So I had just bought a big jug of water to drink, and so I went over, and I was careful, you know, turning it over and rinsing it out, but they never came back. But, you know, that just pierced me, thinking of, but, you know, Gravon talks about, you know, the pinions that pierce, that they just open us up for different kind of, well, he doesn't phrase it like that, different aspects and dimensions of ourselves. And those are the, you know, really treasured times. And that's when the alchemy occurs. And, you know, I wish the country well. I wish the country, yes.
Oh, I was gonna share a couple of things. Just real quick, I got thank yous to send out. Thank you to Jeremy in Vermont. And thank you to an anonymous friend. We are now down to only $15 to go on Rico's, by the way, Fuck Joe Manchin Redux Challenge. There's $15 to go on that, and that means we're $15 away from being fully funded for this past Friday. Thank you, Rico, and thank you Charlene and Barbara and Jeremy and our anonymous friend, thank you so very much. And then I had a note from Jeremy who said, I have a relative who's posted more than a few times that conservatives are ready for war and want to kill them some liberals. And he's a Vermonter. And Jeremy notes, and I'm one of the ones he would like to kill if he really knew the real me. It'll chill you. I mean, it really is. John in Central PA said, Les is right. I live in the aforementioned York County, PA. These people are fascist, they're nuts, and they have lots and lots of guns. Let's be honest with ourselves. If there's a countrywide Tulsa-like massacre perpetrated on us for being communists, you know, which we ain't, we will not be able to defend ourselves. Yes, some of us have guns, but not near as many as they do. I understand this, but I go back. This is not going to be some sort of Napoleonic or even, you know. Well, it reminds me of the story of Antietam, again with the history. They were fighting a war between 1861 and 1865 until they started learning. They were fighting a war with Napoleonic tactics, but with muskets with rifled barrels. And they mowed each other down at 100 yards away with those rifled-barreled muskets. It happened at Shiloh. It happened at Antietam. That's why they were partly why they were so bloody. Then by late June of 1863, the Sharps rifle had been introduced, the Sharps carbine, and the Southerners referred to it as that damn Yankee rifle you can load on Sunday and shoot all week. And it can, you know, it contributed to the bloodshed. So that's not going to happen. Whatever's going to happen is already happening. We're not talking about people who are, you know, brave sons of the South who are going to line up and shoot at the boys in blue. They're going to shoot up movie theaters. They're going to shoot up grocery stores. And I got to reinforce this. They are, you got no defense against that. None. Zero. And depending on where you are in this country, and it just is what it is, I can guarantee you, Alabama, Tennessee, where you are, Todd. Oh, okay, Todd, tell me. Okay, white dude walks around Walmart because he's too much of a chicken shit to go to Wally World to get a loaf of bread and a jug of milk without packing heat, and nobody looks twice, right?
Oh, yeah.
Black dude does that, cops get called. Somebody may get dead.
You don't need, all you got to do is be around. Don't even be on the street, number one.
I mean, remember the dude in Ohio got mowed down by the police for looking at a BB gun air rifle?
An air rifle.
Because, you know, all kinds of terrified white folks picked up their phone. Oh, my God, there's a black man with a gun in here. Bang, dead. Oh, shit, it was a BB gun.
I told you when I went to get my concealed carry, the constable who ran the class, he pulled me to the side. You know, it's split into two parts. The first part is academic, second part shooting. It's like, in between, you don't really want to do this. I said, do what? Why, you want to go through this? I said, yeah. You're just going to bring trouble on yourself. I said, why? How's that? He said, I'm trying to help you out, son. So, you know, when you look at Texas where you can vote with a gun permit, see, there's a certain class of people. And remember, when you have a concealed carry, you're a special class of citizen. You can kill someone and just say, just like the police, that you felt threatened. Mm-hmm. Because most of these states, it's the Castle Doctrine, and that's just what they teach you in class.
Or the Florida rule on steroids, you know, I was scared.
You were scared.
You don't even have to be in. You don't even have to be in your castle. I mean, you know, Trayvon Martin. Anybody?
Well, and then Marissa Alexander, you know, keep fending off a proven someone who had assaulted her before. She couldn't fire in the ceiling in her own abode, and she might be out now. She went to prison, and she had all her paperwork. So I'm just about tired of hearing this. And if I sound calm, it's because I'm resigned. It is what it is now. This is America is making a stand. And this is a white man's country, and you better wake up. And it's unfortunate. And, you know, I'm sorry so many white people are irritated. And it's not my fault. I mean, people are insecure. You know?
And I'm not pushing back, Todd, on your statement, but I would like to amend it, if I may. It is the right kind of white man's country.
You know what? No, thank you. You're right. You're right. A certain type.
Because I can't. Right.
Well, you're right.
If I may.
Yeah. Go ahead,
Todd,
dude.
If I may ask you, when you talk about, you didn't say resigned. You said what?
No, he said resigned.
He said resigned. You know, how does that feel inside of you? What is that like?
I would say it. You know, it's disappointing. It's disappointing because I'm old enough to remember when it wasn't like this. When mm-hmm. and to dovetail on what Robin was just saying, you see, people can't use the argument, well, people were a product of their time when you're talking about slaveholders and abolitionists and such, because there were always people who were on the right side of morality, always. And there were always white folks helping black folks and black folks helping white folks. They're always good people. And, you know, that's what got Derek Chauvin convicted. Just what we said would have to happen. It had to happen from within their organization. We can't do it. We've done everything we can do. As citizens, we complain, we march, ain't shit else we can do.
And let's remember, you ain't safe in your own home. I mean, Breonna Taylor kind of testifies terminally eloquently to that.
It comes back to kind of a mantra that's been going on, just really being acutely aware at the moment at hand, no matter what it has, because we really don't even know what's going to happen in an hour.
Right, and Jude, you do that from a place of peace, and mindful spirituality, but in another way, you have to kind of do it from a place of situational awareness. Because, I mean, we're talking about a split second.
Exactly. And I don't, again, want to come across, and I've used this phrase before, like some kind of Pollyanna.
You don't.
Okay, well, it just, I mean, I carry, like all of us, carry our own kind of weight with whatever purpose we find ourselves traveling on. I mean, Todd, yours with research and whatever you're doing now. I mean, you always articulate that so well, and it's so understandable. And Robin, I mean, just with your vast gift of things. But at the moment that we really come together and utilize that for something, you know, that can lift things up, there is a kinetic connection, you know, with all of that. But what I wanted to share is I have one of my kids that just has gone in for recovery for cocaine that has had this horrendous life of abuse and just, you know, but I can hold that, which is a magnitude of things, and still have that core that has been developed because of women's standing. So I'm fully aware, you know, like the other night, the neighbor and all the other, you know, the motorcycle guy that goes by that has Fuck Biden on it, you know, the house down the street that's just almost wallpapered with Trump, all that kind of insanity. It's being able to, and I'm not saying that I, you know, don't think that sometime something terrible could happen to one of us. You know, I mean, it could. But at the moment of hand and you know, just kind of the grace and understanding that there is another level to things. And I guess that's why I call in. And I hope I haven't disappointed the people listening.
Oh, heavens no.
They always have such good, rich, deep dialogue with each other. No, you do. You do.
No, when Bob said it's a treat, he was like, it's a bacalava. You know, he was like, hey, man, we got something good here. It's Jude. No, are you kidding? Look, no, it just was, oh, Jude, you always, come on. You bring all those,
okay.
You know, you bring spirit, everything. You bring everything. You just are, you're everything. You're wise, compassionate, forthright, honest, concise, clear. I don't know, any positive adjectives you can think of. And let me say this while breath, don't give up. You never know. Forced rehab, in my experience, does not work from what I've seen. But don't give up, because you never know when it's going to click. And some people, it clicks. You just don't know when it's going to click with someone. You can't give up on them. You know, they got that urge, well, or the urge. And please.
Yeah, no, but I also know how I have helped so much. Anyway, it's just one of the, it was just a tiny piece of something I wanted to, you know, be honest. Like when Tracy called in on Friday and shared the two stories about the travelers, you know, I had written to you, Robin, about how, you know, it reminded me of that, one of the books that if one uses discernment can really glean some good things from. And it just simply read, you know, that we have entertained angels unaware. And in the midst of her sharing so much of her vulnerability and her freedom to release her tears and everything, I just thought that was, I was so moved and so grateful. And at the end of it, I think I wrote you, it's when grace travels with peace and they become such excellent traveling companions, because there's great strength, you know, within both of those. And so I'm just letting Tracy know that I appreciated that very much, as those two travelers needed to. So there.
Robin.
Powerful, Jude. Powerful, my dear.
Well, can I share something really fun with you that'll make you maybe kind of laugh?
Absolutely. I'm certain. I'm definitely game for that.
Okay. Because when I talked to you the last time and I told you that I was so comfortable talking with you,
yeah.
And then I laughed and I said it could get scary because I because I have this whole well of stuff. Back in, I had just turned 21, and I had two little kids, toddlers, and my husband was working, and I went and applied for work because I wanted to go to work, and I went to the small cabaret. And I had a live band, and I got hired, and I knew nothing. I was so naive. I mean, I was so naive. And it was just this course of events. I was only there probably about a year. But my mother, who was a telephone operator for the Tacoma Police Department, had stayed in contact with, you know, just that whole group. And she would come to me, and she'd say, you know, I don't know about you working down there. I said, oh, it'll, you know, it's fine, and it was kind of fun and exciting. Well, they had another business down the street called The Players, and it was they didn't fully strip down, but it was a strip joint. And they ended up transferring me down to work in The Players. Now, I always had leotards on and clogs, and, you know, I always wore skirts or dresses, and it was a whole other world. Well, through the course of events, everything was closed down. And what they found out was it was kind of a small mafia group that had gone on. And I used to go after work to parties with these people. And sometimes I'd be with a certain part of the older men and such. And they said, no, we're not going to, she's not going to go in there. We're not going to, and we'd leave and go somewhere else. Well, they got federally charged for racketeering, and they had Frank Mazuka was who I worked under. It went down to the Ninth Circuit Court, and he ended up getting like 20 years in Texarkana prison. And I found out his address, and I wrote to him, and we had this kind of ongoing thing. But one time when I was driving and I thought about calling in, I thought, gee, that would be a strange thing to share. And I don't know why, but that I think it's just another component of just letting, you know, I mean, we have such diverse different paths, but, you know, they're fascinating in some ways and scary in the other. And it's a composite of where...
Well, you're open to the world in which you live.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people aren't.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jude, can you see Mount Yakima?
Mount Rainier?
Mount Rainier. That's the closest mountain. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you'd ever be brave.
And out there. Huh?
No, I'm sorry. I said if you ever would be brave and let me email you, I'm looking at her right now. She's off to the southeast. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Three quarters of the mountain I see every day. And I have photos, Todd, that would blow your mind. I came out one morning and sat on my front porch, and the sky from looking over southeast all the way up as far as I could see, I didn't tilt my head back, was a lavender pinkish blue, and Mount Rainier, as she greeted light coming in, did this transformation. Is it still?
I mean, we're in high summer. Is it still snow capped?
Yep, she's got a lot of crevasses going on, but no, she's still got. You can see the snow patches on her, and then I have just a faint view of the Cascades, and I can see the tops when the snow comes. But yes, Todd, I can see her.
Fantastic.
Well, this is one of the reasons I'm asking is that, you know, on the East Coast, we have mountains, but then it's not like on the West Coast. It's not like out West.
No, these are old mountains. And, those are young mountains.
Right. And see, you guys live where you're in or can see mountains. And when I have visited, even on the East Coast, you know, we have a few, like Asheville's nice. Now, that area, you know, that's
nice. That's beautiful down there.
But it's not like the West Coast. Yeah. But my thing, this is what I'm saying, is that, you know, on the West Coast mountains, Salt Lake, Denver, and then, you know, like when Oregon, Mount Bachelor, it's not that big. But, and then, oh, you know, Salt
Baker.
Lake, Mount Alta, man. Baker. See, I think it, in my mind, I don't know, coming from the East Coast, it's like a religious experience. When you look at that mountain, it makes you understand that you ain't, you know, that you have work to do, like spiritually, just all types of work, because that mountain is so massive, and it's got, and you know, you feel it's got different climate systems, microsystems, all, because it's different. When you cross the snow line, I mean, it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. The West Coast.
Well, look at that level. Yes, and that level that you reach, the level that you reach when you come up in there, and everything becomes alpine, so much smaller, so much more. Just giving its most beautiful essence of what it is. It's almost like an altar coming up to something.
And you know, meanwhile, here they're really, really old. These are the oldest mountains on Earth, and they it makes you feel like you're in church. And you know, this is Jude there and Appalachia, temperate rainforests, similar weather systems. And you know, there were these storms coming through last week, and I wound up having to run across the river as the storm was coming through and the sun was going down. But in the east, the cloud formations that would be, you know, bruisy, purpley, blue black. We're glowing from the inside out with this exquisite pink, and the sun was just dropping below the western ridge line. And I picked up the phone and I called home and I said, "You will not believe what I'm looking at. This is the most exquisite thing in the world." And then a couple of days ago, driving across the New River Gorge Bridge, it looked like the sun was exploding. And mm-hmm. I was talking with a friend of mine, and she said, she said, here's something I do, and maybe it's weird. Sometimes I just drive slowly across the bridge to turn around and come back to remind myself of how exquisite it is here. I looked at her and said, I do that all the time because I want it to be present in the front of my consciousness that this isn't everywhere. I mean, I get a little squirrely when I get on flat ground because there's nothing that, you know, they say that if you've got a sight hound like a greyhound, you never let them off the leash because they'll just run until they drop because all that open space just drives them crazy. And I'm a little bit like that. When I drive away from here and I get down, you know, I get a little weird, but then I settle down. And then when I drive back into Appalachia, the mountains kind of freak me out a little bit. And then I said,
remember when you drove to Delaware?
Oh God. The largest state in the union. I swear it is. It's some sort of space-time continuum anomaly. Delaware goes on for freaking ever.
What happened?
Well, I was just coming back. I was coming back from Philly, and I decided I was going to detour over and have a night at the beach. And it's like, well, you know, I mean, the beach. I mean, there was the Delaware River in Philadelphia. I mean, how far can it? And I was just driving and driving and driving and driving and driving and driving. Where's the damn beach? I mean, I got there like 2 hours before nightfall. And then the next day when I left, oh God, and headed for DC, it was like, I don't know. I think it was like from Houston to Albuquerque, the Ocean City, Maryland to DC. It was all day, all freaking day, all that flat ground.
Did you receive a gift?
Oh, I mean, no, it was just a lot of flat driving. But that's like, I was talking with Tracy the other day, and I realized, you know, she and I do have, and I don't think about L.A. this way, but something in common, you know, she's used to driving around in, you know, out there they call them canyons. Here we call them hollers. You know, but hollers doesn't sound nearly as sexy as, you know, imagine if it was Topanga Holler. I mean, please. But, you know, winding roads and crazy people who build houses on mountains that are going to slide into the sea, at the next third. Yeah, right. And I said, no, because we were talking about the Hornet, and I said, no, you get here in your rental car, you're going to be right at home, winding roads, you know, mud, you know, slides into the...
Doesn't she drive in L.A. proper, though, too?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know she went to Torrance, she said. Yeah, because that's insane. I had met a fellow, must have been back in, I don't know when it was, and, you know, just all those endorphins, Todd, just got me up, and I got rid of everything and moved down, and he turned out to be an abuser. But when I was down there driving, I was so unprepared, even it was in Orange County. I was just so unprepared for that type of speed. And the anyway, that was just making reference
but
to
the,
what
but the funny the funny thing, you. Jude, and you've experienced it, but you experienced it on a Sunday, so it wasn't quite as bad. You know, I remember the first time that Tracy was going to Atlanta, and I said, "I know you drive in L.A. traffic and everything, and you think you're a real road warrior." I said, no, you call me back after you get off the downtown connector and tell me all about your adventure. And I remember she said, Robin, them people are crazy. Back then it was Bob. Bob, those people are crazy. I'm from L.A., but them people are crazy. And it's true. I mean, I Atlanta, oof, God almighty.
I stay away from that.
But the thing is, Tom, you know what I'm talking about when I say this. Atlanta traffic begins in Charlotte.
Oh, man. Shit. You can't even get near Charlotte now, man. It's off. I don't even know what's going on with the bike.
I mean, it's 10 lanes of NASCAR. If you ain't rubbing, you ain't racing all the way to Fulton County.
And you know, it kind of sounds like a way. Charger.
It kind of sounds like a way in which to bring a country to a halt. Between Tacoma and Seattle, I hear the news when I take off to work. You know, the large delays. I mean, there's just all these bottlenecks that are going on. And I remember when I used to be, times just changed, but a fellow that moved, his family moved to Canada, and they would come down and they'd see all these bumper stickers on the cars and crazy driving. I don't see that kind of visual, and I don't experience as much rage, although when I got this little car, when my engine kind of blew, it's just a small little Fiat, there was an aggressiveness of trucks. There was just no ands, ifs, or buts about it. And I had to do some adjusting in myself, number one, not to be intimidated, and number two, to kind of just pay attention. And I learned this really neat thing, sitting up, because they're not very big inside. I look over with my full body weight into my rear view mirror and check them. I'm not challenging them. I'm checking them. And then I sit back and I adjust my rear view mirror. And I'll tell you just about all the times that I do that, it stops that. I mean, is that weird? I mean, that's weird. But it works.
I don't think it's weird. I think it's defensive driving. But you talk about the way traffic is, Jude. What it boils down to is you can't just expand highways forever. Sooner or later, you have to come up with another answer. And you know, public transportation, and particularly high-speed rail, is the answer. But you know, we live in a country, you know, Republicans are why we can't have nice things.
Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham's going to leave. Lindsey Graham's going to walk out of the Senate to make sure they don't build no more damn roads in South Carolina, because South Carolina's got the best bad roads in America, which is to say the worst. I mean, you know, that place is mostly flat, Todd, but they got the worst roads
in
America.
Why do you have to? You have no idea. When I first moved here, like, I've been coming, you know, visiting my whole life because this is a part of my family here. So I've been coming up and down doing this thing since I was a young person. I mean, young. And the thing is, the traffic is worse and worse. And I mean, because there's more people and they have not built out the highway system. Myrtle Beach, Charleston are more popular. So that's the background. This is what I don't understand. They own the whole fucking median, the highway, I-26 goes from, you hit 20 to 26 and take that straight down to Charleston. That's like, Charleston's the place to be. That shit happens every fucking day. Oh, excuse me, but I'm just getting a little animated now because it really irritates me. I'm like, you know, if you had started 5 years ago building a rail system, elevated rail, from, let's say, the capital. Oh, let's just, you know, Columbia. Because it's to Charleston, you know, as soon as you hit I-26, I said, you give people a voucher, because people do like to drive. I get it. And they're not used to trains, but you make it nice. They get a voucher for a rental car when they get to their destination, ride around all they want, park where they want, blah, blah, blah. And see how difficult it is to park. And then they get on the rail going back. It's not that complicated. It's really not. Now, you look at Atlantic City Expressway on the map. That is the straightest that is the straightest road, toll road.
Todd, it's perfectly fine. Be how you are. Don't limit yourself with your
Jude, Todd verbiage. Jude, Todd was raised right, okay? So he's just
to do the work early tomorrow morning, so I don't want to be like normal. Well, I'm not that different at work, actually. But anyway, so I'm serious. You look at the Atlantic City Expressway. A lot of shit had to happen. There's a reason there was Boardwalk Empire. That's a big deal. When you know how hard it is to make a straight road, it is exactly. You look at that on the map, straight. Once you cross Philly, you get into Jersey, you go to like the Pensauken, south of Camden, or a little bit north of Camden. It's a straight shot, like. Fuck property rights. There was a whole lot of corruption, but guess what? It was for the greater good. It was. I mean, the traffic moves. There's a train line. You can take the train, takes a half hour. It runs every half hour. That train runs right to Atlantic City.
Hey, y'all, and I hate to break in, but I do have to get out of here because our pal Thomas over at FYI is starting a new program this evening, and he asked me to be his first guest. So I've got to get out of here because I'm due on his program. But it's been a wonderful conversation, y'all. I really appreciated it.
Thank you, Rem.
Good. It was.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been absolutely delightful, and I thank you both. And we will talk soon. Okie doke.
Okay. Good night.
Peace.
See you, Jude. See you, Todd.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to each and every one of you who keep the program on the air with your kind subscriptions. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. We got $15 to go to finish off the Fuck Joe Manchin Redux Challenge, courtesy of Rico and the beautiful Berg. And I have confidence we'll get there. Thank you, Rico, and thank you to everybody who pitched in on that. Thank you so much. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room, a member of long standing of our all volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. And always, Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine. And, well, avoid them like the... Avoid the maggots like the plague, because they are. Later, y'all.